Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 per hour plus a $175 weekly bonus for some shifts. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Get ready for Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
When he came across this young man,
that's some pretty good music.
And the devil, went down to
Georgia. Yeah, yeah. He was looking for a soul to steal.
I'm a fiddle player too, and if you care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul because I think I'm better than you.
How about that now? And our next guest, Darren Hedrick, the play-by-play voice of Kentucky baseball, Kentucky women's basketball, just got back from Georgia. And he's very familiar. He's a guy from the South, but he just got back from Georgia where the Cats play Georgia. And we want him to break down what's been going on with a big game tonight. Darren, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Mike. It's always a pleasure to come on and chat with you guys. And, it was a tough weekend down in Georgia. Glad to be back in the bluegrass this week for a few games.
Well, that Dan Issel always wants to lead the show off with country and western. And I'm trying to figure that out, Darren. Do you get that one?
You didn't see that fiddle of gold down there, did you?
No, you know what? I thought we had a chance to steal that fiddle of gold after Cole Stupp's great start on Friday and a 6-1 win. But unfortunately for the Cats, the devil got away over the weekend in Athens. But a great song choice. I always love some Charlie Daniels.
Well, tell us a little bit more after the first game. And I want to get into the Louisville-Kentucky game, round two tonight, because they're a highly ranked team and you have a W over them earlier. Phil, I watched that comeback on Sunday. That you guys were down. I wrote you off at, 8-5? And all of a sudden, or 8-4, and all of a sudden, boom, it's in top of the ninth, it's a new ball game.
Yeah, this team under Coach Nick Mangione, there's something special about this group, guys. And I told people I don't know what the record will end up being for this team at the end of the year. They are inexperienced at many positions. They're young in terms of their pitchers. So they're going to have their ups and downs. They'll take a step forward and maybe two steps back. But the one thing about this group is they compete, and they don't go down easy. And we've seen a lot of games this year where they've been behind and they've rallied. Now, they haven't won all of them, but as Mississippi State can tell you, Kentucky had the tying run and the go-ahead run on twice late in games, just weren't able to complete the comeback. And you look at their record 7-8 in the conference, they could very easily be 9 or 10 wins right now in the SEC. It's just figuring out a way to make those winning plays. And you guys know it, just like in basketball, you look back after a 1 or 2 point loss and you think, man, if we had just hit this basket or made this stop or grabbed this rebound, you know, for Kentucky, it was a base hit here or maybe an executed pitch there. And that's the difference right now between maybe having those 9 or 10 wins and being 7-8, which is what their record is.
And going into the tournament, looking forward, what is it, 8 teams go to Hoover?
It's actually 12.
12 teams.
Now that
okay.
Go. And so I feel good about Kentucky's opportunities to make the SEC tournament this year. There's enough teams behind them that I feel like this team can get to Birmingham. Right now it's trying to figure out how to piece together the wins and conference to qualify you to get to the NCAA regionals. And this team's got a shot to do that.
Has the COVID situation, I'm guessing it has, affected the recruiting process for Coach Nick like it has all the other sports?
I'm sure it has. I can't really speak to how and what ways it's affected them, but obviously this is a staff that is really good in person, and you're having to do a lot of things via phone calls and Zooms just like everyone else right now. So I'm sure the recruiting has been affected, but have just brought in a really good freshman class with a lot of talented pitching arms, and they're really excited about the next 2 years as well with what they've gotten committed so far and the opportunities to bring some guys in. It's like anything with baseball, you got to hope that they don't go in the major league draft and you can get them on campus.
And I'm sure that the new facilities help that recruiting process as well. The new baseball stadium at UK is gorgeous.
Yes, it is.
Oh, absolutely, guys. I mean, it's a lot like a professional baseball training ground there at Kentucky Proud Park now with the facilities. You've got the updated trainer's room, the clubhouse that's better than a lot of major league clubhouses. It's just phenomenal, the stuff they have. And then the ballpark itself and the playing surface is just immaculate. Now, I'll say that I'm a natural grass, natural field guy. I like to see the dirt on the infield, but I fully understand why teams north of the Tennessee state line have got to play on artificial surfaces, because it allows you to play your home games in February and March. So we're very thankful for the turf that we have there at Kentucky Proud Park.
Now, tonight's game with Louisville, they are still in the top five, I believe. Kentucky mm-hmm. beat them in Louisville for the first time since 2014, okay? Wow. And they were in the top five. Mm-hmm. Now, recently, Kentucky has won two of the last three games at home against the Cardinals. During that time, the Cardinals were very, very successful, highly rated. So what does that tell you? Is it the home park that's going to make for Kentucky this evening because of what's happened in the past? Does that mean anything to these guys? I mean, they struggled to beat Louisville on the road until a few weeks ago.
I think that's a great question, Mike. I think there is something to playing baseball games at home because you get that last at bat in the ninth inning. You always get one more chance than the visiting team does when you're the home team. And there is something to be said about playing in front of your own fans. Louisville is severely limited in their capacity. Kentucky has been very limited in their capacity. I would expect Kentucky to have as many fans as they are able to pack in there safely and under the restrictions tonight. But the other X factor with the midweek games is the pitching, because you don't see the normal weekend starters a lot. You won't see Louisville's ace against Kentucky's ace. And I think that's one of the unfortunate side effects of these two teams not playing a weekend series, but rather playing a home and home in the midweeks, is you don't get the best pitchers against the other team's best pitchers, but you do get guys that, I mean, if they have a good outing, it can make all the difference in the world. And we saw in that 11-7 win for Kentucky, the Wildcats just made a couple more pitches than Louisville and were able to keep the Cardinals from matching them in the run totals. But, man, what a fun game that one was.
Well, speaking of runs in 11-7 high-scoring game, T.J. Collette, home run king, he's moving right up the ladder. He moved to seventh place on the home run list. And the kid can jack it out, can't he?
Oh, he's a phenomenal hitter. He's got so much power. And the thing about him this year, guys, is he's healthy. For the first time in his Kentucky career, he's 100%. So he's able to play first base. He's been a designated hitter most of his time in Lexington, but now he's able to play the field. He's shown to be a tremendous first baseman, and he brings an experience. It's like he is basically a fifth or sixth year senior because of the extra year of eligibility due to the shutdown last spring. So he brings experience. He's a battle-tested hitter, so he's going to be up there taking pitches and fighting, and like you mentioned, Mike, man, can he bop the baseball. He was a huge addition to this year's club. It was a big deal getting him back for one more year.
And you mentioned earlier when you're out there recruiting these seniors, you just hope they don't get drafted and go the way of the major leagues. Mm-hmm. But I think baseball has it right. It's got to be fun for you and for the fans to have these kids once they come to Kentucky. They're there for 3 or 4 years, and you get to know them, and they get to improve under the tutelage of the coaches there. That I think baseball really does it right.
I agree. I like the rule that you can go to the major league draft out of high school if you want to, but once you commit to a school, once you sign, you're locked in until your junior season. Now, the COVID pandemic has kind of made that a little dicey because we do have a couple of sophomores that are draft eligible this year because of that extra year. They're technically classified as sophomores when they're really juniors. So that's kind of muddied the waters a little bit. But you're right, going back to your original point, Dan, I like the fact that, you know, you get these guys, they develop, they improve, and then maybe they improve their draft stock and they move on. I do. Or if you don't, you know, for these guys, if they don't feel like they're ready to go as a high school senior, you can go the junior college route and be draft eligible coming out of your sophomore season. You have the opportunity to still go. But I do like the way they have the rule in place for Division I.
We're talking with Darren Hedrick, the play-by-play voice of Kentucky baseball and Kentucky women's basketball. Let's set the stage. The game tonight, UK Sports Network, you'll be broadcasting that. Now, who's going to be your partner on that? Well, you have a partner.
Well, typically, Mike, I work alone, but every once in a while, I'm blessed to have Hall of Famer Keith Madison in the booth with us.
Oh,
I know everybody in Lexington knows Coach Madison, and whenever I have a chance to sit under the learning tree and talk baseball with Coach Madison, you better believe I've got a microphone in front of him. So I don't know if he'll get to be there tonight or not, but he's always a pleasure to have when he's available.
He's a terrific guy. I got to know Coach Madison in the late 80s when he was just starting the program mm-hmm. at Kentucky and did a great job and is a tremendous person. But, you know, Tom Leach works alone, too, when he has Mike with him.
Oh, well, I was just going to say, you know, if you ever need anybody to pop in, Issel was a first baseman in high school.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was a Punch and Judy hitter, you know. As big as he is, he didn't jack it like TJ, you know.
Hey, guys, it looks like a line drive in the box score at the end of the night.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right.
On the call tonight for ESPNU, you've got to deliver a message to one of the fellas. We've got Dave Neal and Chris Burke. Chris is a Louisville guy, played in the majors, what, 8-10 years?
Yep.
Played at Tennessee, mm-hmm, nice guy. And I think he's played in your Legends Golf Tournament.
He has.
Yeah,
he
good
sure
guy.
Has, yep.
But Brother Neal and I worked probably 3 or 4 years on the SEC package back then. We had the third game and some various games for Fox Sports South. So I called him the other day, Darren, and I wanted to mm-hmm. pick his mind about some things and maybe get him on the show. He's come on with Bob Valvano and I many years ago on Fast Break Friday. But you tell Brother Neal, and he's what I always called him was the real deal, Dave Neal. You tell him to return his damn calls. I know he plays golf all the time. I mean, he's a golfing fool now, and but at least tell him he could call back. I mean, he just broke my heart when I didn't hear from him.
I'll make sure he knows the phone works both ways.
Please do, Darren. Please do. The starting pitchers tonight are the weekday pitcher for Kentucky is
Zach Kameen, and he is an excellent high-velocity fastball guy. He's got a great breaking ball, and then he can wipe you out with that slider. So he's going to be it's going to be interesting to see how he does against that really tough Louisville lineup.
And what year is he?
He is a transfer. He's a senior.
Okay, okay. What about Louisville? Who are they going to bring to the mound?
You know what? That's a great question. We have not, or I have not officially been told yet, but I'm usually the last one to know things. So we'll go with Mr. TBA. He is undefeated, untied, and unscored upon, guys.
And, of course, I will tell you, Dan, that I did a game when Tom is at the bowl game. Darren and I have done a couple games together. And, you know, I was a load for him, too. But he did well. I got on his back and we just did the ball game, right, Darren?
That's right, man. It's always fun to do games with you, Mike. Yeah. You carry the broadcast, brother.
No, I don't believe that for a second. But you carried our little section today on Kentucky Louisville baseball, and we're wishing you to have a great call and, of course, have a big game, entertaining game, but let's pull the cats through, brother.
All right, you got it, guys. Hey, thanks so much for having me on. It's always fun to talk to both of you. It's an honor, and let's go get them tonight. Let's have some fun.
Thanks, Darren. We appreciate it.
Good guy. And he does the women's basketball by himself.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Tom, they put me on Tom every game, you know. I don't know what they're trying to kill the fellow or what.
Do you find I'm thinking about Hubie's story the other day when he was with the CBS executive and he was explaining how football analysts have 30 seconds in between plays to pontificate, and the same way with baseball. Is it tough being on, because I would think on radio, Tom's got to talk so much because you can't see the pictures. Is it tough finding a little slot there where you can talk and lend your expertise?
Before I really respond, I will respond. I just push my way in, you know. poor Tom. I mean, I just push my way in, but. It is. In doing television, you did television. I've done television. I was taught, don't tell the viewer what they just saw.
Right, exactly.
Tell them how it happened,
right.
Why it happened.
Exactly.
So on the radio, you are more limited, obviously, than television. And the show is, television is the analyst show, or it used to be. It still is, because we have a bunch of guys who think they're Naismith, you know, when they're doing games, okay? if they had all that knowledge, some guys, go back to coach, man.
That's right.
You'd be in the Final Four every year. So
that's right. But, those that can do and those that can't coach.
You know what I've learned in radio, Dan, is that you get into a flow with your play-by-play guy. You know how each other delivers the game from their perspective. And Tom's talking about what is now happening. What I try to do is look at, and this is why it was very hard to do it off the TV, I try to watch off the ball. I try to watch the bench, the opponent's bench and Kentucky's bench. I try to find things, and particularly off the ball, because there's so much action, pick and roll, and he's describing that. But so much of the action happens off the ball, on the other side of the floor, after the pick and roll. Okay,
right.
Or getting back in transition. I don't try not to follow the ball. I let him talk to me in my ear because I hear all that, and I try to see what's developing in transition that he's not talking about to try to chime in. And then I just butt my way in.
Well, you're very good at it. I've told this story before that I had never heard you do a game, and we were driving across Kansas one afternoon, and you and Tom were on the satellite radio, and had a chance to listen to a Kentucky game, and I was quite honestly surprised how good you were.
Well, I didn't say anything when we played together. I just passed you the ball. I didn't say anything, you know, so you didn't know if I could even talk, right?
You know, we were talking to Darren about the baseball facility, and I have to tell you, the only time that I have paid for a ticket to a UK sporting event was a UK baseball game.
Wow.
Because my grandson was in town, and we were showing him, we looked at U of L and we looked at UK, and he was in a camp up in Cincinnati at Xavier, and so I called Dwayne Sweezy, and I said, can you get me 4 tickets to the baseball game? And then I made the mistake of saying,
I will pay for it.
No. I would never.
Was really out of character.
I would never say that. I made the mistake of saying, my grandson is a baseball player and he's being recruited, and we're showing him several campuses while he's in town. And with that, Dwayne says, Dan, I'd love to, but if he's being recruited by colleges, we can't give you free tickets. So we went. So Sherry and Sheridan and Ben and I went to a UK baseball game, and I had to buy the tickets. You know that hurt.
That hurt.
That hurt bad.
I know. To heck with recruiting. Sit down and talk to your son-in-law about this recruiting thing, you know. I'm later, 1st of May, I'm taking, you talk about how impressive the facilities are, I'm taking one of my grandsons, Jackson Stone, and his dad, who played at Evansville. And then I think my stepdaughter's going, but I'm not sure. But I know the guys are going. And Tyler was a very good baseball player at Evansville. So they're excited about seeing the facilities. They've heard about them, and I've talked about the facilities. And, man, if you know, I know you're in the northern part of the SEC in baseball. I get that. So, and Louisville is in what would be considered the northern part of the ACC maybe. And they say, well, guys want to go deeper in the South. But a lot of guys don't want to go too far from home.
Right.
And you're playing in the SEC and the ACC. And this is a – now, for your grandson out in Denver, it was a long trip, okay? But you can recruit within, what, 400 or 500 miles? You got a lot of baseball
players. A lot of baseball players.
In Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, Illinois. I mean, cats have had some guys from Illinois. And it's very well situated. And the facilities are second to none.
Yeah. And as you know, Mike, that certainly helps. I mean, if you both Kentucky and U of L have in the last few years really upgraded all their facilities, not just the football team stadium or the basketball stadium, but girls softball and soccer, and they've done a great job. And you have to have it. You fall way behind recruiting wise if you don't have those facilities.
Yeah, that's where when you bought those tickets, you helped pay for the pitching machine up in Kentucky.
Well, it must have been an awful cheap pitching machine, because I think the tickets were like $8. But
that's great. That's great. Well, we'll come back. We'll take a break here, and we can talk some more college hoops and maybe some college football. Kentucky's been terrific recruiting kids lately, and in particular, the offensive line. So my question to you when we come back, we have a new offensive coordinator
right.
in Kentucky
yep.
who is supposed to open it up.
Right.
Okay? And you have a history. Stoops and his staff have done a terrific job with that offensive line, but they've run the ball behind that primarily. And how's this going to fit? Are you going to maintain with the line you have coming back and the recruits you have coming in? Are you going to pass block or are you going to run block? That's the question.
Okay. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Sports Talk, Dan Issel, Mike Pratt, 680-1057, and the Crean Man on the board.
Bet Rivers Sportsbook has supercharged its iOS app. Download the update today from the Apple App Store and see the difference for yourself. Must be 21 or over to play. Playable only in Indiana. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Keep it locked with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
Welcome in to everyone for our last half hour of Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt. Before we discuss our last salvo today, let's thanks to Tommy and the Delivery.com team for bringing by lunch to ESPN Louisville. Today we got White Castle. Locally owned delivery.com brings the restaurant to you. Perfect for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Use promo code ORDER NOW, $10 off your next order. And they are now hiring drivers. You get paid per delivery and keep your own tips. Also, if you are a restaurant looking to grow your business with food delivery, contact locally owned delivery.com and delivery.com, your neighborhood delivery service. And
those services have to be doing land office business during this time. I mean, nobody's – it's getting better. Things are opening up. But that had to be a big business during during the last year, year and a half.
Absolutely.
Taking food. And White Castle. We have White Castle for lunch. I don't know if you remember this or not, Mike.
I'm going to give you mine because I have things to do this afternoon. I got to rush right out of here.
Okay. All right.
You get my fries.
Thank you. Years and years and years ago, late at night here in Louisville, the only restaurant that was open, and we'd play like in Indianapolis, take the bus back and not get home till after midnight, or we'd fly in late and not get home till after midnight. The only place in the city of Louisville, there was a White Castle over in St. Matthews that stayed open. I believe they stayed open all night long. But I can't tell you how many times on the way home I went through that White Castle to get something to eat. And that was the only place in Louisville.
That was a staple.
Yes, exactly.
For late night dining.
that was the only place open. So.
Well, Tommy and the delivery.com folks are making sure that Crean has a couple of the White Castles, which he is munching on right now, right, Crean?
Devouring.
Do they bring fries, too?
I think there are fries back there. I just kind of went in, grabbed a couple sliders, and rushed right back.
Well, listen, Mr. Issel, let's talk a little in our last half hour here about the NBA, the draft, the difficulty that you experienced in the draft, what's going on now. And then I want to go into, as the czar of the portal, some new people entering the portal. 93 underclassmen have applied for the draft. Okay, now, not all of them have said, I'm sticking in. They've left the door open some. 93, doesn't count. Luke Garza, the senior from Iowa, and any of those guys.
Right.
Just underclassmen.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was reading a little bit. I like Danny Ainge. When I was at Charlotte, we played BYU in the Far West Classic, and he's a terrific player. And you saw him play in the pros, and I don't know if you
Celtics,
know him or not. I know Rex and I have talked about him. Rex Chapman's very close to him. But you look at, you know, they're supposed to be building a program, and it's hard to build a franchise program in the NBA with people. But I was looking at the end of the lottery, just the end of the lottery. Okay, Boston at the end of the lottery 2 years ago took the Langford kid from IU. And this year, past year, they took the Neesmith kid, who was a great catch-and-shoot guy at Vandy. Struggled with some other things, but he could catch it and shoot it now with anybody. They took both of those guys late in the lottery, like anywhere from 12 to 15, or 14, pardon me. Now, Google their numbers. Neither one have worked out.
Right.
But you look at Miami Heat.
Hey, Romeo's been starting lately for him.
2 points a game, brother. 2 points a game. Yeah. I looked it up. 2 points a game.
You know what? He's still developing.
Please. He's going to develop himself out of a job if Boston has another pick.
Well, they have. And that's the way that Ainge has chosen to build this franchise. I mean, they have an unbelievable number of first-round picks over the next few years. But you miss as badly as you did on those two kids.
Are high-priced misses, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then I know you were going to the Miami Heat and the great job that they do, and Pat Riley heading up that organization. You look at my hometown team, the Nuggets, they get not just a questionable MVP candidate, they get one of the favorites to win the MVP. Now, the run that Curry's been on, he's kind of put his name in the NBA. But until that run, I would say that Jokic was the favorite to win the MVP in the NBA this year. And he was a second-round pick. So I know where you're going. Some of these franchises just do such a much better job with the picks they have available.
And I was going to reference, and you referenced the Miami Heat and Randy Embry, former Kentucky player, is their scout in this area. He's always at games that we have, and of course this year he hasn't, but I mean he works his tail off, and he's the guy that first put Miami on to Dwayne Wade. He saw him play.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And he also obviously has championed Hero and Bam because he saw him. He was at all the games. And those guys were like 12 and 14 or 12 and 13. Miami has done a really nice job in filtering through all the players to be able to use that late lottery pick. Both Bam has become a star.
He has.
Yeah, yep. And Hero's no on his way. I mean, Hero contributes. He was starting for a while, now he comes off the bench. And I mean, those were great picks late in the lottery. I mean, those were picks that you can say, I didn't waste my money.
Right. And it's twofold, Mike, because not only do you make good picks in those, but you also develop those players. You have a system, and Pat's been there a long, long time, but you have a system that develops these players and brings them along that it's very difficult for young players in the NBA to get, because you have so many games and so few practices, and when you do have practice, you're making sure you save the legs of the starters, and it's really difficult for a young player, unless you have a really good system, it's really hard to develop a young player while the season is going on. You just don't have time to do it.
And for those reasons, now we have the G League, for the reasons you just said. But my question to you, and maybe we've talked about this before, guys go to the G League, some of them, and it's like a penalty. Put me in a penalty box, right? And other guys go down there. I keep referring to Van Fleet because he spent time down there. Keldon Johnson spent a year down there, basically, and he's playing very well for San Antonio now. So, I mean, I think it's the attitude guys have, that stunts their development or increases their opportunity.
You're 100% right. You just hit it right on the head. It's all about attitude. If you go to the G League, or if you're sitting on the end of the bench for an NBA team, not getting much playing time, it's all about attitude, because you can skate if you want to. I mean, you can come in 5 minutes before practice starts and leave 5 minutes after it's over if you want to, and nobody's going to say a word. But if you have that attitude and that work ethic to put in the extra time to improve, but it's all about attitude. So many of these guys, not so many, some of these guys just have the attitude that, hey, it's the man's holding me down. If I just got a few more touches. Yeah, if I just got a few more shots or played a few more minutes, it's all his fault. I'm good. I can do it. I just need the opportunity. If you have that attitude, you're not going anywhere. But if you have that work ethic to put in the extra time, like you just referenced, a couple of the players that have come out of the G League and it's led to great NBA careers.
And you can Google. There's more than just those two guys that I referenced. The kid Robinson, I think he played at Syracuse. He was in the G League. The shooter, the 6'7" shooter for Miami. They picked him in the second round. He spent some time in the G League, and it's just. It goes to show, I think, what we've talked about and what we've seen, that recruiting in college and drafting in the pros both are a dicey situation at best. And you did it. You did it in the pros. I did it in college. And what you see is not always what you get.
That's for sure. I mean, we in Denver when I was there, we made some really good picks. Got guys that had long careers, and then we whiffed on some, and it's just like horse racing. We talked about Baffert and the $650,000 yearling, the $1 million yearling, the $3,650,000 2-year-old, but you still haven't found a way to measure the heart the determination. And that's why he's got a horse in the Derby that sold for $1,000. And the same thing is true. You can do all of your homework. You can look at all of the film. You can interview, make sure the guy's a good guy and he's willing. But you just haven't, they haven't devised a way to look at the size of his heart, see how competitive he's going to be, and how hard he's going to play.
And to that point, a lot of guys lose some of that drive, their heart, when they start coming down with to the G League with NBA contracts. And some don't. Some that doesn't make a difference. They're still driven to get better.
Yeah.
You just don't know.
Well, and a lot of it has to do with the contract situation. I mean, you know, we've talked about it before. The rosters are 15 people, and then you have the two-way contracts for the, and sometimes you have to go to the G League, not because you're not good enough, but because you're not going to supplant somebody who has got guaranteed money on the NBA roster. So there's a lot of reasons for going to the G League, but all of them have to do with having a good attitude and willing to work hard.
And then we get back to the transfer portal.
The czar. What do you got for us,
I've czar? Got a new guy. This is a strange one.
Shocking. So there's another person in the transfer portal?
There's always a new guy in the transfer portal.
Hey, it's going to be easier pretty soon to name the people who are not in the transfer portal.
And, you know, there's before I get into this new development, it's a bit odd, but we'll talk about it. There's a lot of guys in the portal that 2 points a game, 4 points a game, six yep. points a game, and they think they're not getting enough minutes and yep. they're better off. Okay. There's 93, as of the other day, underclassmen declared for the draft. 93.
And how many draft picks are there? Help me with this, Mike.
60.
That hasn't changed. It's still 60.
Yep. You've had a few of those, yes.
60 people get drafted.
Do you think they should expand the draft? Because
absolutely not.
Well, my argument is not to accommodate the players, but because the G League has become such a more viable option to where it would have teams select more players to fill out the G League rosters and maybe give more shots in the rough of trying to find the needle in the haystack of the guys that could develop in the G League and become NBA guys.
I'll tell you who will be against expanding the draft more than anybody, and that's the players. Because if you're on the cusp, if you don't get drafted, you have the ability to talk to every team in the league. If they had five rounds of draft picks, there'd be guys who were drafted that have to talk to that one and only team. So I don't see it ever growing more than two rounds.
I agree. I mean, the best spot, there has been some guys that turned up on rosters and played minutes in the NBA that weren't drafted. And they had that option if they had the right agent that could get them to the right team.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
The right fit.
Exactly.
And then they spend some time. But, I mean, they can talk to everybody. They can go to two or three camps in the summer, right? They just move from camp to camp.
Yep.
Showcase themselves.
Yep. And you're right. That gives them the opportunity. I mean, if they had more rounds of the draft, and you're a point guard, you might get drafted by a team that's already three deep at the point guard position. But if you have the ability to go out and negotiate with every team, your agent can find what he thinks is the best fit for you, the place that you have the biggest chance of making an impact.
So I guess the inverse question to that then is, should they cut down the draft to give the players more freedom? Maybe just have it be one round.
I would say this, the chances of it being one round are a whole lot better than the chances of it being three rounds.
That makes sense. Yeah. And economically, that makes some sense. And of course, even in the second round, I think they have some sort of soft cap, don't they? Or some type of limitations what they can pay?
You know, I it's been so long since I was in that business that I really don't know what the rules are today. When I was there, you had to get, if you were a first-round pick, you had to get a three-year guaranteed contract if you were the first pick in the second round. Now, as time went on, more and more people in the second round got guaranteed contracts. So I would imagine that that there's something in place now that the second rounders have to be guaranteed something.
Well, the Brunson kid from Villanova was drafted by Dallas, and I watched a little bit of the Dallas game. He's starting to play, starting to shoot the ball. It's been 3 years ago. Okay, he got from Dallas, according to my Dallas connection, 4 years guaranteed. And
as a second round
pick, yep.
Wow.
Yep. They went out on the limb for him.
That turned out to be a pretty good pick.
Do what?
That turned out to be a pretty good pick.
Yeah, it turned out to be good. And, of course, the kid doesn't get to his second contract as quick as some of the first rounders, but they took a flyer on him. I have to research what he made, but it's every team works this thing differently, right?
Sure. Yep. Yep, and that's why some are successful and some aren't.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've got to have a portal ring of some type.
When somebody comes into the portal.
Yes, when we talk about a guy who comes into the portal all of a sudden, and he's worthy of talking about.
Okay.
He's not.
So this is somebody that has averaged more than 2 points a game.
Absolutely. And looking for minutes and touches. No, he's not. It's not that guy.
All right. Well, you've aroused my curiosity, Czar. Who is it?
Sevier Wheeler, the point guard from Georgia. All SEC pick by the coaches, second team by the AP. Okay. He's going into the transfer portal. And he's also declaring his NBA, declaring for the draft, but not hiring an agent. Now, you're going to have to work on that, man. That's okay for today.
Not only are you going to have to work on it, you're going to have to work on the timing. We've been talking about the kid for a minute and a half, and then you
I was trying to find
then
something.
Then you play that thing.
He's got bad hands. Damn, bad hands. Now, let me give you this guy's numbers. Again, all SEC by the coaches, second team by the AP, averaged 13.9 points per game, led the SEC and was fifth nationally with 7.3 assists. Now, let me tell you, back in the day, assists were hard to get.
Yeah.
Now they hand them out like jelly beans, man. A guy makes a shot from anywhere. That's assist. You know, how do you get an assist for a 3-point shot? He averaged 7 assists a game. The kid was very clever with the ball. He's only about 5'11", but I mean he's quick with the ball. And he could see the floor. You wanted to make him a jump shooter, okay? Because if he got to the paint, he was tough to deal with. Now, he was the first player in program history to record a triple-double in a game.
Hmm.
He says, quote, "I am looking for a style of play that is compatible to my skill set. I am also looking for the opportunity to impact winning at the highest level. To be honest, watching the NCAA tournament was tough. It was the first time I was jealous of anyone playing basketball." And that he's the fifth guy that's leaving or put their name in the portal from Georgia.
From Georgia.
And that is surprising.
Who's the coach at Georgia?
Tom Crean.
My guy. That's my guy.
You know, I always liked Crean. And I thought he was a much better coach than people, IU fans and would give him credit to be. And, you know, he's been at Georgia now 5 years, I think. And he's had some guys.
Going into his fourth year.
Going into his fourth year, okay. He's had some guys leaving, but he continues to make headway with recruiting Georgia kids, which at one time was really a problem for that program. So, but he's lost this guy.
Well, he can go back, but it sounds like he's just covering all of his bases. I mean, he's looking at the NBA, he's looking at the transfer portal. But how unhappy could you be with a program that you have that kind of success, you have those kind of numbers, and you still
want to... And you had the ball, you were a ball-dominant guard?
Yeah.
Don't talk to me about touches, right?
You can decide who touches it all by yourself.
Exactly. That's where I'm going now. He might have had a legitimate idea about getting to the NCAA. And I think Reed Travis, we got Reed Travis a couple years ago. I'm going to spinoff on you from Stanford, and on the team with PJ and Hero and Keldon Johnson.
Yeah, I met Reed at the Derby that year. Nice kid,
bright kid. When he came out for an interview, you know, you could tell. Of course, he graduated from Stanford and he had a impressive major. It wasn't like darts and beer, you know. So he was, but he had never played in an NCAA game. And that's what he wanted to do. He told me that. And I remember we're down in Jacksonville playing the first round game against the Southern Conference team. I can't remember. But they were a good three-point shooting team, and it was the first round. I believe it was first game or second game. Anyway, right in front of me, the game's going on. And it's funny what you remember. Because I knew, and this kid had told me, he said, I'm at Kentucky because I want to play in the NCAA. Mm. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
He said, I think we can win it. That's why I came here. So there was a loose ball late in the game, and they're making a little bit of a rally on us, okay? And there's a loose ball, and it's right there in front of us. And this kid now is crawling on. He dives for the ball. Other guys dive for the ball. And the ball gets kicked toward us. He's crawling. Dan, he's crawling for the ball. I mean, he's crawling for the ball, yeah. And he does get it, and Kentucky continues on to win the game. But it was a play that was a tough play at that time in the game because the rally was on, and Kentucky was trying to defend and make a stop. And I'll never forget him crawling for the ball. And I think that's what it meant to him to have a chance to play in the NCAA. And maybe Wheeler is Sevier Wheeler is feeling the same way.
Well, maybe he's mature enough. You know, at some point, and it depends. It's different for different individuals. At some point, you know, you have the personal accolades from your basketball career, and you realize winning the game is the most important thing. You know, for some guys, it happens in high school, some college, some guys, it never happens. They're more concerned about being the lead highlight on ESPN than they are winning the basketball game. But with Reed Travis, he was at Stanford and had never been there.
Played in the NIT. That was it.
Yeah, not in tournament. And he came to the realization that winning was more important than his personal stats. So maybe that's what this kid from Georgia is thinking.
Well, it'll be interesting. He's not going to be a draft pick of any renown. He would be a G League player. He's short for – he needs to work on his jump shot, and he's 5'10" or 11", whatever it is. May not even be that.
Going to say, if he's listed at 5'10", he's probably 5'7".
I got you. And they always listed me at 6'4", and that didn't work either. But here, as the czar of the portal.
Yes.
Before we close this.
Yes, oh, great czar.
Yes, yes. As before we close this one down, and think about the rest of the week, and then Derby Week. You got a lot of great people lined up for Derby Week. There are 1,406 players in the portal. 1,406 sad souls.
Reached a new milestone. What do we get to 1,500? Thursday, Friday, next Monday?
Probably tomorrow. But no, sad souls that are unhappy with their lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that is sad. That is sad. I stick by what I said earlier. This is the worst idea the NCAA, and they have a long list of bad ideas. This is the worst thing the NCAA has ever come up with.
And before we go, I have to mention, because you and I both like football, and we like the direction Kentucky football is going in.
Yeah,
they're really moving in the right direction now. They have just landed another tight end from the state of Ohio.
Hmm.
I think that's three or four tight ends from the state of Ohio. And this kid is supposed to be special from greater Cincinnati area. And their class rank now, ranked ninth nationally, and number 11 on one poll, ninth the other. Still probably haven't cracked the top five in the SEC, but They are starting to accumulate some talent.
And I think, Mike, a lot of it, especially on the offensive end side of the ball, is because of the new offensive coordinator and his promise to open things up. I mean, if you're a tight end, you want to go someplace where you just don't block, where they throw you the football every once in a while. So that's important.
Yeah, they forgot about Jacob Tammy.
Yeah.
But tomorrow we're going to have...
Before we go, I just want to say to Bob Valvano, who both of us love, you've worked with him for a long time, having some health problems that he tweeted out. I want Bob to know that he's in our thoughts and prayers. Get better and get back in this studio very quickly.
Amen. We all miss Bob and know he's going to battle through this. And we're all thinking about praying for him, right?
Absolutely. Get well, Bob.
All right, that's been Sports Talk for a Tuesday with Dan Issel, Mike Pratt. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll have Ali Stumbler from the UK volleyball team at 10:30 our time. We'll have a little chance to visit with her, terrific young player from across the river. And we'll go forward after that, Mr. Issel, and we'll have some fun.
Have a great day, Michael, and you too.
Bet River Sportsbook has supercharged its iOS app. Download the update today from the Apple App Store and see the difference for yourself. Must be 21 or over to play. Playable only in Indiana. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.